Welcome back. It is the Monsters of the Midday on a gorgeous Thursday afternoon. Time to talk to the Iron Man of the sports animal, man who loves Texas football like no other, from ESPN, Mr. Jake Trotter. How you doing, Jake?
Doing very well. I left a very important meeting, just walked up and left to talk to you guys. So,
are you in Bristol?
I'm in Bristol still.
Man, you've been there for
like multiple days.
Yeah, you sound awful. Is everything okay?
Yeah, sound good. Just trying not to disrupt meetings along the hall here. I'm just walking the hall in Building 13 right now.
What kind of meetings are you guys like? Are you guys like panning out like who's going to be covering what for next year? What's going on there?
There's a little bit of that going on. What are we doing? What are we going to do? I'm catching a flight this afternoon, Dusty. So hopefully, I have the plane with the TVs like we had last time. Remember that?
You're not going to be covering Oberlin and Washington and Lee next year, are you?
No, but you know, ESPN Plus, they're expanding the coverage map every year. I'm hoping at some point the Division III playoffs in college football make it to the equation.
Hey, I thought big news came out yesterday. We talked about it briefly. I basically wanted to throw a party because I just love good non-conference college football.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay if
you're
talking
about Texas Tech, Oregon State.
I'm okay if it's at a neutral site, but I much prefer the home and home and Bama, Texas yesterday for 2022-2023. I love it. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it, Jake.
Well, since you brought up Texas, I will talk about them. Their non-conference schedule the next decade is incredible. I mean, they play USC this year. They come back and play LSU, then Alabama now, and they move back their series with Ohio State. So I think Michigan is in there as well. So their next decade is LSU, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, and the one game against USC. They have to have the toughest non-conference slate of anybody in the country moving forward. And somebody had a great stat yesterday that the University of Texas will play more games with Alabama between now and 2024 than Alabama and Georgia will, which, you know, everybody talks about how strong and great the SEC is. The truth of the matter is a lot of times you don't have to play the best teams in the SEC if you're in the SEC in the right year. So you got to give Texas a lot of credit, and now we'll see if they can do anything with it.
I think that's definitely the big question. Kyler Murray had a big weekend. You heard any more on him?
No. Keith Law's new mock draft just went up today. Kyler is not on it, but Keith always had Kyler as a compensatory pick going into. I mean, I think the more and more I hear, the more it feels like OU thinks he's going to be back. But, again, we just kind of have to wait and see what happens in the draft and, you know, whether some team, you know, makes a move higher than we expect that complicates this situation. But, I mean, I think if I had to bet today, Kyler Murray is going to be the starting quarterback at OU in 2018. What I don't know is how high he's going to get drafted and how that might affect everything.
Hey, you know, we see Oklahoma, since Joe Castiglione's been here, they have not been afraid to schedule tough in the non-conference. I'm wondering, at what point is it going to be almost essential that's going to be part of a huge part of your resume if you want to play for a national championship? I can answer my own question because it basically helped Oklahoma and Ohio State the last 2 years get in. So you can see it right there. But I'm just wondering for Oklahoma State, now they've played a Florida State, they've played a Georgia, but year in, year out, they're not playing a quality non-conference opponent. Do you think that the more we see this trending in that direction in college football, we'll see more teams in the Big 12 and right here in our backyard in Oklahoma State kind of follow suit?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you don't have that game, you almost have no margin for error. Even at one loss, it's going to be difficult to get in because we had a new precedent this year, two teams from the same conference. At some point, Notre Dame is going to be a factor in the playoff. And, you know, we saw that it doesn't matter if you win your conference or not. So if you're Oklahoma State and you win your conference and you have one loss but you have no marquee win, I think that the playoff committee has shown that they don't necessarily have to take you. And, you know, conversely with Oklahoma this year, you know, beating Ohio State, they were basically going to be in if they could win the Big 12. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a prerequisite. And if you don't play those games, then you're going to need, like, you know, if you're Oklahoma State and you're playing Boise, you're going to, and you want to get to the playoffs, you're going to need Oklahoma and Texas to be like top 10 teams. And you're going to need to beat both of them. Otherwise, it's just your strength of schedule is not going to match up. The committee has sent a message that they care about who you beat in the non-conference. That's why Baylor and, you know, Baylor in particular in 2013 didn't get in. They didn't have any great wins in the non-conference. They had the one loss at West Virginia. They had a great win over TCU, but it wasn't enough. So you can go schedule Boise State and not play a Power 5 team. And Boise's a good team. I don't think it'd be like a bad win by any means. But, you know, if you have a top 10 win and you win your conference, you're going to be in the playoff. And if you don't have that top 10 win, you almost have no margin for error, I think. I think that's the way it's going to work.
Yeah. The stigma of the Big 12 kind of been taken by the Pac-12.
Yes.
You know, the Big 12, yeah, I don't think the Big 12 is considered.
Did you see Dennis Dodd's article? Did you guys see that article Dennis Dodd put out?
No, and it's on and off the field, and maybe more so off the field. I mean, the Pac-12's been terrible on the field, but, I mean,
the TV network's even worse.
Their financials are really troubling. I mean, the trend is not looking good for them. They don't have, you know, while they have the population base, they don't have the interest level, and that is the real killer for them right now because it affects all kinds of things, including attendance, where players want to go, and then obviously TV dollars because you know, they can't get their dadgum Pac-12 network on the air on DirecTV, and so nobody can see it, and they're taking these huge losses because of the investment they made in the infrastructure with the Pac-12 network. So the Pac-12 is a little bit insulated from being poached the way the Big 12 has been, but I think at the same time, if you look at just the Big 12 and the Pac-12 and take proximity out of the equation, the Big 12 is in a much stronger position, even though they lost teams to the Pac-12 and even though they're smaller.
I totally agree with that. Jake, I know you got to get back to your meetings. Listen, if you're going to pitch something, then just go big or go home. How about a Trotter Amin Dvorak crew? You could be the sideline reporter. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, throw it out there.
Well, I know if I was with you guys, I'd get to eat like a burger on the sideline, so I'd be all for that.
Well, we may, you know, Molly was really sweet young lady, so we allowed her to eat. But if you're down there, Jake, you better play your cards right. You'll be very hungry.
Yeah, I'll be a pro.
All right, man. Thank you.
Okay, guys. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Trotter.